Welcome to Fair Women's a Nice Guy, and I am your host, MNG. And today what I have for you, you guessed it, I got a Riddick Reed. So this Riddick Reed is based on a guy that is going to be a father-to-be. So let's congratulate this young man for becoming a father. It is great becoming or going into fatherhood and knowing that you're going to groom the next generation with some of your great or bad traits, depending on how you do it. And this is not a hood that I would like to invite everybody to. You have to be a special kind to walk into fatherhood. It is full of ups and downs, unpredictable situations, and you never really know what you're going to get until it comes out. It's just like a box of chocolates of a sort of variety, because you definitely don't know what the hell you're going to get. So, what does this guy say on Riddick? He says, the father of B, "Hey guys, I'm soon going to become a dad. This is my first child, and I was wondering, what tips do you have for a first-time father? What would you have done differently?" Oh, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that would have done a lot of things differently when it came to their kids. But I'm not going to speak for everybody. I could only speak to my abilities and the things that I went through. But how the case is, where I would like to start at is basically, one, we already congratulated the new father. We are excited. Welcome to the fatherhood. Welcome to the brotherhood. We gonna welcome you with open arms. I hope that you find other groups of fathers that you can commune and have conversations with and share experiences. And that's very important, is to have a bonding period with other dads, especially if their kids are young, their kids are like maybe in their bypass the toddler stage and probably in their teens, something just to get an idea of what to expect going forward. So I don't know if this guy is married. I don't know so much anything. I just know that he's going to be a father. So I don't know if it's his girlfriend, living girlfriend, one night stand, who the fuck knows. It could be his mama, his auntie, could be his goddamn grandma. Fuck, I don't even know. But we know he about to have a kid. So the first thing I would like to tell this gentleman, buy diapers. But don't buy a lot of diapers, because they gonna grow out of them diapers really quick. So when you go to, or when you have the baby shower, you're probably gonna get a lot of diapers because people are cheap. So depending on what kind of family you're coming from, what your family is and what her family is, you're not gonna get anything that you put on the baby shower list, on the registry list. You're not gonna get any of that shit. I would suggest not even doing it. It's purely a waste of time. It's probably only great because the woman wants to do it, because it's like a whole shopping trip. But I can assure you, when I look at those things and I go to baby showers and I look at the registry, you ain't getting that shit. I ain't got the money to give you that shit. If you get cheap friends, you're probably going to get diapers. Diapers are probably the most essential thing that you're probably going to need next to milk. And there has been a milk shortage. I can't confirm whether they rectified that or not. The milk shortage. That's if you're going to, you know, do the formula and everything. If you're not going to do that, then more than likely, probably going to breastfeed, I'm guessing. And that is going to be tough. I mean, I understand from the stories that I've heard, and I can't speak for every woman that has breastfed. But from a lot of stories that I've heard, or from a few stories that I heard, there are difficulties with breastfeeding, the baby latching on. They say that the gums are sharp. And I'm like, how's the gum sharp? Like, you ain't even got no teeth. But some women say it hurts. You know, sometimes they say they have a difficulty with the baby latching on. And then there's some women where the baby latches on easily and it's fine. Then there's the situation with weaning a baby off of breast milk and trying to get them on regular milk or formula, or however the case is, depending on what happens. That has been difficult because they don't want that. They don't like the taste of it. But then they also say that breast milk or breastfeeding, it creates a bond between the mother and the child, but also, you know, it provides, you know, superior intelligence. I did that with quotation marks in the air to the kid, because it's a lot more healthier and, you know, I guess more brain food or whatnot. That's the stories I've heard. I'm not going to confirm all that. I'm not a scientist or anything, so that's just the information that I have. Now, the other thing is that the first 4 years, if your wife is a wife, girlfriend is going to work from home or not work at all, that's going to be good. It's going to be beneficial. It's going to save you money on daycare. Daycare is very costly. I believe that the last time I heard, daycare was costing some people were to think $1,200 to $1,500 a month for child care. That's going to be rough. Also, for your girlfriend or wife, make sure you cater to their needs. It's going to be very rough for them in those first few months or up to the year. Just make sure that you just kind of pay attention, try to be as helpful as possible. Take your turns with the baby. I can assure you it's going to be very imperative. See if you could take a leave from work. That bonding time in the first few weeks is very crucial. And I know the woman gets that paternity leave. Not a man. A lot of companies don't offer maternity leave for men. But I would highly suggest you just take some time off so you could be able to be that support system for your girlfriend or wife. You know, with those nighttime duties, if the baby is not on a schedule, because it's kind of difficult to get a baby on a schedule when they're first born. But if you are able to get them on the schedule, but they still wake up in the middle of the night, you know, they want a bottle or they need their diaper change, it's good if y'all just able to just take turns with doing that and, you know, just being there, because sometimes it is exhausting taking care of a child and, you know, being the only person that's waking up, taking care of the child, feeding it, getting a bottle, because, you know, you have to be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning. Maybe your job is a little strenuous. You leave work, come home, and then a baby is dumped in your arm because it's been crying all day. I've seen it. I've been there. The one young lady that I dated, she had it pretty much. I met her when she had a newborn, and her baby would cry all the time. Oh, I know, like for the first year of her life, but she used to cry all the time. And, you know, it takes a toll on you. Because you're trying to, maybe you're trying to pay bills or you're trying to cook and they want to be held. And it's just good to have that second party there that's able to assist and help, especially when you have a newborn. And that first year is just really crucial. So that's definitely one thing that I would tell you, is that first year is just very crucial. Just try to be a support system to your girlfriend, wife, whomever. Just try to be that support system and just try to help them and guide them along, because it is going to be very tiresome when you have a baby that's crying and you just can't rest. You haven't got no sleep that night. You know, you're waking up the next day, you're still taking care of them, you're still getting that sleep. So that's like the first year, 2 years. You know, it could be a little tough, and then they start to walk and crawl and get into things. You know, your house got to be baby-proofed. You know, I don't know if you have any weapons or anything in the house. You know, definitely want to get a gun box and put those things up. You know, lingering cords that are just lingering around, you definitely want to take care of those. Now, as you progress forward in the years and you get them into preschool and kindergarten, whether you put them in a prestigious school or you put them in a public school, it's going to come with its activities and it's going to come with its time constraints. And what I mean by time constraints is again, if your wife is not working and she is a stay-at-home parent, she's primarily doing the shopping, the driving, the picking up, the dropping off, I would suggest is trying to, if possible, to take turns with dropping off and picking up, depending on what your agreements are, just so you can have some of that one-on-one time when she's not around, whether it's a girl or a boy. It's still kind of cool to just have that one-on-one time outside of the house. Maybe stop for some ice cream after school. Maybe go on a errand with them after school. Maybe it could be shopping, going to pick something up, or just going to the mall. Those little days are so pivotal in this to their growth and everything, and they remember those days. You know, it's to them, it's essentially special because they get that one-on-one time with you. So I will always say, just have that one-on-one time, you know, with your son, with your daughter, even if it's inside the house, have that one-on-one time, you know, do an activity together, which is cool and great, but it's also good to get out and have that one-on-one time as well, not just going out for if your kid's in soccer or sport or some other activity. It's still good to just kind of get out there and to do something a little different outside of, oh, well, you're only here because, you know, you had to bring me to basketball practice, you had to bring me to dance practice, or you had to bring me to karate practice. You know, just had a just one-on-one time, you know, that little date, you know, go out to dinner with your son or go to a sporting event with your son, you know, do those little activities. And sometimes it doesn't even have to really cost money. You know, you could just go out and just have a conversation, you know, go for a walk in the park and feed the ducks, I guess. Shit, I don't know, you know, but, you know, just think of something creative to kind of open up the lines of communication and conversation and, you know, and share some of your knowledge and experience with them. I think as parents, we kind of, some of us, not all of us, but, you know, there's quite a few of us that probably get lost in work and our responsibilities, and then we don't take the time to actually sit down and have that one-on-one conversation with our kids. And then when they become teenagers and adults, then we kind of wonder why their attitudes are the way that they are and why they're not communicating with us, because we didn't communicate with them first in the beginning to open up that avenue, you know, that or build that bridge in order for that communication, because sometimes the communication could be a little bit of shoddy. And I'm going to tell you, and you know, when my son was growing up, you know, I didn't have that communication with him. And then when I learned that I didn't have that communication with him, I definitely caught it at a good time where we could have that communication and we could talk to each other. And I kind of opened up and started to build that bridge of, hey, you can come and talk to me. You can come and express your emotions to me. You can tell me the things that are upsetting to you. You can tell me about the girl that you like. I'm not going to get upset. You can tell me if you want to have sex, and we can talk about it in a healthy way. And we could talk about it where you could be protected if you're going to go out there and do that stuff. If, you know, you were peer pressured to have to drink liquor, you want to be able to know and have those conversations so you can know what's going on. And it starts when they're younger, is to have those conversations and to build them bridges so they can feel safe and secure. The longer they feel safe and secure, the more unlikely they're going to come into you and share stuff with you, you know, without filter. Because sometimes you got to expect they're going to say it with no filter, because they probably don't know the tack or the tone that they should come and say it. So you just kind of want to just leave that door open, and then you can kind of just mold the conversation as you go along. Like the conversation between me and my dad is, because again, you know, as you know, some of y'all would know that my dad was always in my life when I was younger. So, you know, I kind of opened him, let him back in once I became older, and our conversation is amazing. And we're just alike. You know, we have similar personalities. A lot of our personality is the same, you know, same for ideals and the way we talk, you know, we have the same. So our conversation is very sarcastic. It's very comical. You know, sometimes we crack on each other, but that's kind of the things that we do. And I enjoy the fact that we are able to relate to each other that way. Even though I wasn't really around my dad, I absorbed some of the greatest, what I would consider some of the greatest aspects and features of him. And, you know, I like that he's my dad, you know, and I like that I brought him back into my life. And I'm glad we can have that level of communication with each other. You know, we don't hold back from each other. There's no hold bar. You know, we kind of just let loose, but we do it in a respectful way. No, there's no disrespect. There's no animosity. You know, you want to have at least an open avenue of conversation where, hey, it gets to a point where it's like, okay, I know you're upset, and you know you can't want to just let loose. That's fine. Go ahead and let loose, but I'm gonna need you to keep it on a respectful level, because once it started to get disrespectful, then you need to rein that in and put that in check. Now, know, once you start to get on later in years, you know, you get to the preteen stage, the liking the girls, and all the other things that come. And then we're in the social media stage. What your kid is going to be younger, so they're going to be in a different avenue of technology by then. So it may not even be social media then. No, it may be have your own robot that's a servant to you. So a lot of his friends may have their own AI robot. You know, they may have all the latest technology. So it's really going to be the lane you're going to be in so far as technological investments. You know, your whole house may be, you know, AI. Since AI is the era that we're going in, then your kid is pretty much going to grow up with artificial intelligence. So there's something to kind of think about when you're looking forward for having a kid. I know you're looking at the now, and I know nobody looks this far up there, and that's kind of why I'm talking about it, because I kind of want to give you a big picture, you know, because you're a new father to be. So I kind of want to give you a big picture of the world that you're going in, because the era that we're in, and I don't know how old this gentleman is, but the era that we're in is going to be different than the era that they're going to be in. Like the era my son is in is all social media. You know, the peer pressure of social media, the cyberbullying, the world is flat with social media. All of the information they can absorb with social media, all of the sexism that they are getting with social media, the sexual orientation information that's presented to them. So a lot of information is presented to my son on an everyday basis from a little bit of everywhere. I mean, you have Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Snapchat. There's so many different ways that they could communicate with each other and then hide the evidence. for the most part, you know, I can communicate and hide the evidence and nobody will ever know that I did it, so to speak. You know, you get Snapchat that's good for 24 hours and then poof, it's gone. Like the magic dragon, right? So you have those different, you know, aspects and mindsets that's going on. So to answer your second question, I don't want to get too far off into that, but I just kind of want to get you to understand that your child is going to grow up in the AI age where artificial intelligence is kind of going to be the movement going forward. So as we start to move out of the 2020s and move into like the 2030s, we're going to probably see more AI, more humanoid robots, and the job aspect is going to be a lot different as well. So that's another thing to kind of consider, is how the job aspect is going to change, right? Now, let's look at what would I have done differently with my son. Okay, so I had my son long ago. Some of the things I would have did differently is I would have done more to set him up financially. So, and what I mean by that is that right now, if you take $1,000 and you put it in the S&P 500 until they're like 18, okay, the S&P 500 has always done well over the years. And then there's some other industries that's also done well so far as the stock market. Take $1,000 and then if you just contribute some money to that every paycheck, and you could just put in the S&P and you could contribute to every paycheck, by the time they turn like 18, I'm not going to give you an actual estimate, but they can have well off enough money to go to college, probably buy a house depending on what the interest rate is or what the down payment or what inflation is at that time, how much a house is going to cost, go to trade school possibly, maybe start their own business if that's something that they're interested in. But they will have that money to be able to do whatever they want to. And at the time that I wanted to start it for my son, getting into the stock market was virtually impossible at my income level. I was pretty much told that if I wanted to get into the stock market, I needed $10,000 in order to do it. Times have changed so much where you can buy a fraction of a stock for like a dollar. And that's pretty good, because now we have retail investors, so it's easier to be able to go into the stock market without needing a stockbroker, without needing these big companies guiding you and telling you what you need to do. But you have these applications that can do it for you. You know, you could have a fund that's managed by an organization. You're just dumping money into it and they kind of just push it and move it like they need to, you know, essentially like a 401k, or you can go ahead and you can just do it yourself. So I would suggest, since you're a white soldier, child is born, you get that social security number, go ahead and open up an account in their name, put $1,000 in the S&P 500, and then just continue to just put money in there over the years. Because if you can get up to like 100 shares in the S&P 500, and say by that time, it's like $5,000 a share. I mean, that's a lot of money. So it's good to kind of just kind of put that in a mindset and put that in the back of your head. So like, as soon as the kid is born, matter of fact, I got an even better idea for you. You tell everybody that's coming to the baby shower, depending on how many people are showing up, to get you up to maybe $100, $200, or maybe $1,000. Hey, would y'all mind contributing? Don't contribute clothes or anything like that, but if you can contribute 10, 20, 50, whatever amount of money you can, bring diapers too. But if you can contribute every kind of money you can, I'm going to take that money, I'm going to put in the S&P 500, and then we all are donating to that child's future. So then when they get that kid money, and then even for the birthdays, hey, if you're going to bring a present, try to bring a monetary present. They bring that monetary present, you know, outside of the toys and everything, because you can buy the toys for the, you gonna buy the kid toys all year long. What's toys on his birthday? What's toys at Christmas? Just keep telling people, hey, send $10, $25, $50, whatever. We're gonna, in say the first 5 years of your kid's life, we're gonna invest in this kid's future. We're gonna keep dumping money into the S&P 500. And the goal, and just say the goal would be to dump $10,000 in there in 5 years. So that's $2,000 a year from the time that they're born. Okay, that's essentially, that is definitely doable. It's definitely doable. I mean, it's like what, like $250, $300 a month for the most part. It's 12 months in a year, about $200. Yeah. You get about 175. You get like 175 a month in an S&P 500 for 5 years to get like $2,000 a year, $10,000. $10,000 in 5 years. By the time that they're 18, they'll have a hell a load of money in there. And I think that And I think that would be so much more. I think that's what I would have done differently. You know, outside of, you know, being his life, I could say, yeah, I wanted to be his life, I wanted to do all that stuff. But really, if I could have made him financially stable by the time he turned 18. So when he had turned 18, if he had $150,000, $200,000 in an account that he can go to college with, buy a house with, or if he just wanted to work and had $2,000 and just wanted to go and say he wanted to get a car, he can go and get a brand new car, whatever brand new car, he would have been financially set. I think that's one of the things that I would have done differently. And I did it. Don't worry, I did get an account with his name. But remember, back 10, 20 years ago, it wasn't as easy to get into the stock market as it is now. Now it's a lot more simpler to get into the market, and you can do it right from your phone. You can do it right from your computer, and then you can do all your own research. And there's a lot of people telling you how to do it. So essentially, that's what I would have did, is I would have set him up to be financially secure by the time he turned 18. So he would have had the money to go to school, he would have had the money to do all the things that he wanted to do during that time. That's my thought. So the only other thing that I think I would have did differently is I probably, when his mom tried to come and get him to take him to go live in a shelter, I believe I would have told her no and took the risk of the police coming knocking at my door. I think I would have took that risk. And the reason why I would have took that risk and jeopardized my job, jeopardized my future and everything, is because I believe that would have been the right thing to do for him and not be scared of the system. Everything else, honestly, I wouldn't have changed a thing. I kind of like how things went, but I think that's one thing, if I could change in the past, is I would have changed that. And I would have made sure that he was financially successful going forward. Even when we were able to go ahead and put money into the account and set him up with a stock market portfolio. I wish I would have did that a lot sooner too. I'll leave you with that. So this is Farewell, Mr. Nice Guy. I am your host, MNG. If you want to go ahead and send us a voice link, you can send a voice link on Spotify. It's only available there. If you like the stuff that we're talking about, you like the content that we have, go ahead and send us an email at farewellmrniceguy@gmail.com. Also, you can follow us on Instagram at farewellmng. We post a lot of stuff there. We kind of post what the next episode is that's coming up, if you're ever wondering. We post every Monday, so just to let y'all know, we post every Monday. If you haven't seen it or was aware, we post every Monday. But I will see y'all on the next recording. Peace.
Thanks for joining us on this unfiltered journey with Farewell, Mr. Nice Guy. We hope today's conversation brought you fresh insights and a renewed embrace of authenticity. To keep the canon vibes flowing, hit the subscribe button for more thought-provoking episodes and share the podcast with your friends. As we wrap up, keep embracing your true self, navigating life's twists, and making connections truly count. Until next time, remember that your journey to authenticity and growth is one to cherish.